The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Gospel of Grace podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. We would love to have you worship with us in person sometime. The church address is 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m.
In the first half of this powerful sermon from 2015, which we posted yesterday, Elder Buddy Abernathy demonstrated to us that our nation was founded upon Christian principles. However, it's clear that it's drifted away, far away, from the foundations upon which it was built. And so Brother Buddy asked the biblical question, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Join us today for the second half of this message, where we learn how we can continue to be faithful in times of persecution and great wickedness.
I will call upon the Lord.
The God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The Bible never teaches that your spiritual life prospers based on the culture you live in.
That's right.
But see, that's what the world's looking for. The world's mindset is just the reverse of the Christian's mindset. The world tries to find their happiness from getting their material life in the way they want it to be, having material blessings. But the Bible always teaches that a child of God's peace and happiness is internal. And that's what he's going to address here. Know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him.
Amen.
Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Not many people in the world can do that. Here's a person that feels an inward sense of security and peace. It's not dependent upon how much money they have on the in the bank. It's not dependent upon how secure their pension plan is or how they have their home paid for. And while many of those things are wise biblical decisions. You know, faith doesn't mean that you live foolishly, does it?
Amen.
I knew a preacher one time that said, well, I don't have car insurance because I just trust the Lord. Well, the Lord hopefully has given us the wisdom to recognize those things which are simply good judgment. Matter of fact, to not have car insurance, even if it wasn't illegal, is to tempt the Lord.
Amen.
Because that is a resource provided that can protect you from financial ruin.
Right.
He says, stand in awe and sin not, commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. You know, I wish I could be that way more, don't you?
Yes. Yes.
Too many times I go to bed and I'm worried about things.
Right.
You know, I had a lot of worry yesterday. Mm-hmm. I had a water line bust. Mm-hmm. I was at Lowe's at 8:45 this morning. But we made it here. But I tell you, I wasn't laying down upon my bed and resting. But you know, if I'm walking close to the Lord like I could and should, then in spite of our circumstances, we could have rest.
Amen.
And peace. And I want to make this application most relevant to the moral culture that we're living in, and knowing especially that you young people, if things don't turn around, you are going to face persecution if you take a stand for moral principles, especially in the way you practice your business or whatever your occupation is. Look at verse 5 of Psalm 4. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. Now, isn't it true that throughout the Old Testament, worship centered around making sacrifices. Now, what did that represent? Obviously, it pointed toward the fact that we need a sacrifice that will save us.
Yeah, that's right.
And the reason we don't make sacrifices anymore today is because the perfect Lamb of God that those sacrifices pointed to has been offered, not to you, but offered to God, and God accepted it. I'm glad the Lord accepted it. Now, you know, I ought to accept the fact that God accepted me in Christ.
Amen.
Did you hear me?
Amen.
I ought to accept the fact that God made me acceptable in the Beloved.
Right.
But what gets you to heaven is God accepting.
Amen.
You know, you can accept it all day, but if God doesn't accept what Jesus offered to him,
Amen.
You're yet in your sins.
Amen.
Those priests never offered the sacrifices to the people.
Right.
They offered them to God.
Amen.
And you better offer the right lamb in the right condition in the right way so God would accept it and be pleased. And Jesus did that in perfection in every way. He was the proper lamb in the proper condition, and he was offered in a perfect manner that was pleasing to God. And you're going to heaven not because you accepted it, but because God did.
Amen.
Now, doing you a lot of good to accept it. In 2 Corinthians 5 verse 20, After Paul says we are reconciled to God in Christ, he then says you be reconciled to God. Now you say that sounds like a contradiction, either we're reconciled or we're not. No, that's just simply saying God's satisfied with what Jesus did to save you. Now you be satisfied
Amen.
With it.
Right.
I mean, how prideful it is to say, well, I know God's satisfied with it, but I think I've got to add something to it. There's nothing God don't want anything you add to it, because if you've got to add to it, the lamb would no longer be a perfect lamb if you introduce you as part of the sacrifice. You know, the truth is simple, isn't it?
Amen.
Jesus made the offering to God, and it was for the salvation of his people that were given to him by God before the world began, and God was pleased with the
Amen.
Sacrifice, and that's why we have eternal redemption.
Amen.
But when he says, offer the sacrifices of righteousness, in this New Testament day, that's not speaking of animal sacrifices, but it's speaking of what Paul said in Romans 12:1 when he said, present your body a living sacrifice. Now think about what that means. That means that I'm going to live my life in a way that makes God happy.
Amen.
In a way that pleases God. You say, I can't affect the emotional state. I can't affect the frame of mind that God is in. Well, then why does the Bible say, grieve not the Holy Spirit,
right,
if you can't grieve the Holy Spirit?
Right.
I know God is not man, and I can't properly compare or contrast how we respond emotionally to how God's perfect character is affected by our sin. I just know it is.
Amen.
It affects Him. You see, to be godly is to say, I want to do what pleases God. And then to know that when I do that, it doesn't matter what's going on.
Amen.
You know why? And this is the most important thing you need to know to have peace and security in an ungodly nation. And that's to know that God is going to deal with every man according as his works are.
Amen.
Now, I'm not speaking of God's eternal judgment. I hope I made it clear,
yes,
that you were saved by Jesus Christ. That's a past transaction.
Yes.
That debt was paid. The debt was canceled. The bank can't hold you in debt again.
Right.
You know that that's illegal. The debt has been cleared. You were saved by God in Christ. But in the same way, your children will probably suffer consequences for rebellion against your authority as a parent. God's children suffer the same.
Right.
There's nothing my children can do to make them no longer be my children.
Right.
Nothing I can do,
right,
to make them no longer be my children. That a principle applies naturally and spiritually.
Amen.
But they can have a lot to do with how much they enjoy being my children.
Right. That's right.
Their behavior almost totally determines that. That doesn't mean that I don't love them when they're disobedient, but how much fellowship we have is a direct correlation with their behavior.
Amen.
So he says here that we're to offer the sacrifices of righteousness. But you need to understand that when you live a godly life, He is going to take care of you in a way that He will not take care of you as a father if you're rebellious against Him.
That's right.
You will miss out on His blessings and perhaps His providential protection.
Mm-hmm.
Now look at verse 7 in Psalm 4. Let's go to verse 6. There be many that say, who will show us any good? I believe there are many of children of God that are immature spiritually. So they say, well, how can we escape? What are we going to do? There be many that say, who will show us any good? But now look what the psalmist prays. He said, Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Lord, bless in such a way that those that are in doubt will see your obvious blessings upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increase. What's that teaching? That's saying that in spite of my physical, material circumstances, I have more gladness than those out in the world that are prospering in the things of the world. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. We need to remember these promises as we begin to maybe have anxiety about, you know, what are my children going to go through? What are my grandchildren going to go through? Well, you know, I need to get my focus off that.
Yeah.
And focus on what can I pass on to them so they won't go through a state of fear and anxiety.
Amen.
You know, in the first century, there are many historical accounts of those martyrs who seemed not to suffer in death. Even some that were burned at the stake, those that were involved in their in putting them to death, even said themselves, it seemed that the flames didn't even bother them. Mm-hmm. And you know, if they said they were going to burn me at the stake, I think I would be in great fear, wouldn't you?
Yes.
But here's the thing, God doesn't give you grace in advance. He gives it to you when you need it. And if God gave you grace in advance, that requires no trust in Him. You know, I don't have to trust to receive something if it's given to me before I need it. And see, that's how the Lord works. He's testing you and trying you all the time to see if you'll trust Him. Job said, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him.
Amen.
Abraham went to offer Isaac, and yet he still believed, even though God was commanding that, that seemed to be contrary to His promise that through Isaac the Savior would ultimately come, but he trusted God.
Amen.
You know why? God's not going to lie to you. God's not going to trick you or deceive you or lead you astray.
Right.
Follow Him without reservation.
Right.
And you know, we really need to grow in this area because we struggle with the little things like, well, you know, if I put going to church on Sunday over my job where I have to work on Sunday, I'm worried what might happen. That doesn't compare to where we need to be.
Amen.
Now, I'm not saying if you work on Sunday, you need to immediately quit, but you should be praying, Lord, open the door where I can transition from this situation of having to work every Sunday to being able to go to church. And God will lead you along and He will open doors. But you see, the culture we find ourselves in today requires a greater faith than in just the daily affairs of life. It requires trusting God to take care of me, even though I will not concede that marriage is anything other than male and female.
Amen.
There are all kind of arguments made. But in the beginning of time, God said that's what it was.
Right.
And then 4,000 years later, Jesus didn't say, well, sin has messed things up. People are different now. They're born different. No, He just quoted what God said 4,000 years later. So 2,000 years later than that, I'm going to quote the same thing, aren't you? God made us male and female and told us how to operate in that realm of creation and bringing forth children. Now let's consider one other thing. The Bible teaches that we're not to rejoice when our enemy falleth, but we do need to know that our enemy is going to fall. Not that we'll get pleasure in it, but to give us more confidence that God's going to take care of us. Look at Psalm 7:15. This is referring to the efforts of those that oppose God's people. He made a pit and digged it and has fallen into the ditch which He made. Now you'll have to look this one up. I couldn't find it this morning. But there's also a scripture that says, their foot shall slide in due time. You say, well, this person has been so cruel to me and I don't see anything happening. You've got the wrong focus. God said their foot will slide in due time. And in Romans, I believe it's chapter 12, the first part of that chapter, it says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. Now that's not saying, and I believe I made this point here recently, I believe it was at another point, that doesn't mean that there's not legal consequences for criminal behavior. Right. That's not what it's talking about. That's not saying that you should not protect your family, even if it takes killing the person that's trying to harm your family. That's not what I'm talking about. But when it comes to you being involved with making that person suffer as a consequence, that's God's realm.
Amen.
And don't you get into that realm. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Amen. I will repay.
Yes.
And you know, there are some wicked people that have not the Spirit of God in them that will not pay until the Lord's coming. But consider this. Would you rather the present be the worst you're ever going to have it or the best you're ever going to have it? There are some people in this world, there's some wicked, unregenerate people in this world that their 70 or 80 years in this world is the best they're ever going to have it. For you, these 70 or 80 years is the worst you're ever going to have it.
Amen.
And then you're going to have the eternal best. Now listen. If you're really mature about this, you can actually, instead of getting mad and wanting God to get back at it, you can actually feel sorry for
them. Amen.
Because if they're not God's children, they got something bad coming. And if they are God's children, He's going to address them and problems will come into their life. So if we're thinking right, you can actually feel sorry for the person that's mean to you. You know, if somebody tries to get your job or they step on you on the ladder to get a promotion, they did that in front of God.
Amen.
And I'd rather be at peace with God and man opposing me than God opposing me.
Amen.
See, that Christianity means thinking biblically in every situation. Now listen to what Job said in Job chapter 4 and verse 8. Even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. Did you know that you reap what you sow, where you sowed it, in greater abundance than you sowed it? Matter of fact, one of the old prophets said regarding, I believe, Israel, and you can look this one up, they have sown the wind and they shall reap the whirlwind.
Yeah.
In other words, what they've done is like the wind blowing out there, but what's coming their way is a tornado. So it's within this context that we should remember that verse in Ecclesiastes 12. And remember, it begins by saying, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. When your mind works good. You know, mine's already messing up, Brother Chris. I forget. I try to help my children with their school, and I keep forgetting over and over what's in the problem I just read. You know, I know how to do that. I understand that math or whatever it is, but I can't remember what I just read. Remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And then he goes on to say at the end of that chapter, fear God and keep his commandments.
Yeah.
This is the whole duty of man.
Amen.
And you'll be able to say like that hymn writer did, who lost his wife and children at sea. As he went on the ship later on to that place where they perished, he wrote that hymn, it is well with my soul. And that's the way we can be, whether America is a godly place like it was in the past, or a wicked culture like many others in the world today.
Thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast. We hope you'll join us again tomorrow when we'll present another message of God's sovereign grace. In the meantime, if you have any questions or would like to contact us, please go to the website at zionpbc.com, where you can subscribe and get email updates every time a new sermon or any announcements are posted. Also, you can contact me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter J, chrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast, and may the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.